This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, Episode 2. Today we're going to introduce one of the hosts, Andrew Connell. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Connell.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. All right, AC, what have you been up to?
It's been not too long since we recorded that first show a couple days ago. I guess as people are probably going to be figuring out from the when we go live with this, we're going live with a few shows. But the last few days, I guess I've been focused on two things with a podcast, or three things. One was kind of playing with the mixing the show together and the intros and the outros and all that stuff and getting our levels right. Also working on a little bit of the website stuff to support hosting the podcast, which by the time people hear this, all of that will have been done and it will have been tested and working. Well, it will be tested and deployed. We'll hope it's working. And then I guess the last thing that we did is we had somebody kind of give us a hand and built out a logo for the podcast. So we kind of, man, we went through, what did we get, like 200 or some odd submissions for that?
Yeah, it was amazing. Amazing. Wow.
A lot of feedback, a lot of really crappy options, and a lot of really good options. But really funny how some people just threw stuff together. And I think the one that I got the biggest entertainment value out of was the guy that submitted one for the Microsoft Cloud Show. So he just took the three letters and made an acronym of, look, it's MCS. I'm like, no. Yeah. We do not want to be MCS.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the MCS is Microsoft Consulting Services, and so that acronym's already taken by somebody, I guess.
Yeah, didn't want to do that. So
fair enough. Yeah.
What about you? What have you been up to the last few days?
Well, you know, we recorded on I think it was Monday, and now we're on Wednesday or so. So in between, I've been assisting with you on the logo stuff. I thought that was absolutely fascinating process, and you know, we used 99 Designs to commission that, and it was really interesting to watch how that process went. So obviously been keeping tabs on that and checking in, and you know, we've been talking a bunch about what seems to be working and what doesn't. So I've been doing that, also been, you know, working on how we're going to launch the show and thinking of some of the ideas around getting the word out, and talking with some of our friends in the SharePoint community about having them help out with that. So those are the kinds of things I've been thinking about, other than obviously day job stuff too.
His darn day jobs kind of keep messing with us, right?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, enough about us. What about you? This episode... this episode number two is all about introducing the hosts, and so for, you know, some of our listeners will be old hat to them, but for many of them, hopefully many new listeners, they won't even have a clue about who we are or what our backgrounds are and things like that. So why don't we kick this off, and why don't you go ahead and, you know, introduce who you are and what you do and what your background is and stuff, and we'll take it from there.
Sure, that sounds like a good idea. So I guess my name is Andrew Connell. I go by also go by AC more commonly. I guess we're going to refer to each other probably a little bit more of an AC CJ, but I guess my full name is Andrew Connell. Live in Northeast Florida, primarily an independent contractor / consultant / speaker / author. Basically, when you're independent, you're just kind of you'll be pimped out to anybody who will write you a check for doing any of the kind of work that you usually do. So just that kind of stuff.
A master of your own domain, one would say.
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent.
I've got a blog. It's just my name, andrewconnell.com. Also on Twitter, again, that's just my name, Andrew Connell, two N's, two L's. I'm also on LinkedIn, and there's a link on my blog to take you to my LinkedIn profile so you can see all the professional history and stuff. I'm also on Facebook, but I generally use Facebook more for friends. I'm not in the friend collection business as some people out there are, but,
and pictures of your breakfast, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Pictures of my breakfast and, you know, all those kind of things. So, while I've got a link to it, I generally, not to tell people I don't want to be their friend, but you know, it's kind of one of those, I see Facebook as more as a personal kind of a reference. So it's, you know, people that you don't really know or acquaintances, I don't usually friend those people. So I am on Facebook, but not a public thing.
Gotcha. So, gotcha. Yeah. Well, you know, you've been around the SharePoint community for a long, long, long time. So kind of how did you originally come across SharePoint, get involved in it, and give us some of the background on those things?
Sure, sure. So I guess when I as I came out of college, I went to go work for a company, a little startup company called Ramworks in Jacksonville, Florida. It was your classic, you know, dot-com days where we were a web development shop. And my primary job that I kind of evolved into there was I built or assisted in building a new version of a product that we called AdminEd. It's a web content management kind of homegrown bespoke kind of thing that we did. Sold it to a lot of companies and it was used by a lot of people. We would mainly it was never really a product. It was more or less a pattern that we would implement over and over for other companies. Did some cool stuff. It's kind of cool to see some of the techniques being used today about at the time it was DHTML, so a lot of asynchronous JavaScript writing to an iframe that would go communicate back on a database backend and have real-time live updates on a website. So
wow. What's old is new now, right?
That's pretty much, yeah.
It's interesting.
So I went from there to we got bought out and kind of skip a couple of years. And around the mid-2000s, I went to a company called Fidelity Information Services. And we were basically a banking software and mortgage servicing company. Like 60% of the mortgages, whenever you pay your mortgage, 60% of those payments around the country, around the United States, went through a building right next door to me. So it was kind of cool because we had like a whole contingency plan for like if a truck bomb went off, they would shut down the stock market because it would be such a traumatic effect and you were assigned different teams or whatever. But if a hurricane came in and how you stand up operations and staging in Atlanta and then shifting over to New Jersey. But I guess I'm getting off topic a bit. When I went there, I got into a product called Microsoft Content Management Server 2002.
Near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yeah. It's something we share in common from way back in the day. And I guess we use that to host our .com facing site at Fidelity. And then I got into that was from standard content development into doing more of a real web CMS. And then at the same time, I was also in charge of the team or involved with the team where we used SharePoint Portal Server 2003 for our company intranet, but they wanted content management capabilities. And so I'll throw some terms out that some people may know. You're probably familiar with this, but we talked to Microsoft and said, we want to put CMS and SharePoint together. And they're like, yeah, there's this thing called the Jupyter.
Yeah. I'm like, why do you wait for that? Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, don't do it. Jupyter's coming out. I'm like, what's Jupyter? And they say, well, we're going to put CMS and SharePoint and Commerce Server together. But for the meantime, we got this thing called the Spark Connector to have content shared between CMS and SharePoint. And we looked at that and we were like, yeah, it doesn't do what we want it to do. So we actually took and made CMS channels for every area in site inside of Portal Server for real content management. So that really is how I got into SharePoint. And then from there, I went and did a couple other things. But when SharePoint, I went to go work for a company called MindSharp, a training company out of Minneapolis. Went there for about a year or so and then went independent for a year and was teaching for the Ted Pattison group. And Ted Pattison and I got to be good friends and ended up starting a company called Critical Path Training back in May of 2009, where we did just SharePoint education. And Critical Path Training still around. I actually sold my interest in the company to Ted back in February of 2013, really just to focus on some other things. I mean, I'm not one to stick in one spot for a while. And I had done the training thing now for 4 years, and I didn't want that to be my primary focus and didn't really feel like it was the right thing to keep doing the same thing. But I think that was
around the time that we met was not when you were moving out of Critical Path, but I think maybe when you were creating it with Ted or something along those lines a few years back. And I think that was around the time that we met at an office developer conference or a professional developer conference or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was working with someone, a guy named Ryan Duguid, that we both good friends with.
Yeah, I don't even know who you're talking about.
No, And yeah, so Ryan was moving from his position to another position, and you were taking his position over, and then he introduced the two of us, and it was like going, "Oh, love at first sight." No, I love at first sight. But
Ryan is a longtime friend of mine, and he was the best man at my wedding, in fact, and I was the best man at his. So we go way back, and I remember we were playing some job musical chairs, and I remember being introduced to you then.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. So you're still involved in Critical Path, or what's the story there?
Yeah. So kind of. I mean, I'm no longer an owner or a partner in Critical Path. Now I'm just an instructor for them. So I teach private and public classes around SharePoint development primarily with them. But today I'm completely independent. I do training with them. But another thing I do now is I do a lot of training for Pluralsight, a company that a lot of .NET developers have probably heard of.
Yes, certainly have.
Yeah.
I have a membership, in fact.
Oh, that's good. That helps me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch stuff written by me.
Yeah, they're doing a ton of different things in the sort of online learning space and things. And I found it really interesting to go in and just sift through all sorts of different courses that, I don't necessarily have a interest in per se, other than just wanting to learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
I don't use the stuff in day to day, but I love going and learning about stuff up there that I haven't been involved with before. So yeah, what's your take on them, and why do you why are you involved, and what's going on there?
Yeah, so people can look at it and they say, is Pluralsight competing with Critical Path training and vice versa? And I don't see that at all. I mean, in fact, when I was with Critical Path, we provided them a ton of our content for on-demand training online. Critical Path training is all about instructor-led training, either online or in person. And I look at it as the same way as, when you want to go to a conference and learn something, you're going to go to a five-day conference. And some people are not the conference material, in a sense, and that they don't want to go sit and listen to one topic or focus on one niche over the course of 3, 4, 5 days or whatever it is. Pluralsight is very much like the opposite. I would think of it more in the sense of, like we talk about conferences, more of like a user group or more of a like a SharePoint Saturday, in that all of their stuff is online. There's no in-person stuff. So I build a course, I record it, I give it to them. You have a subscription, you can get to the course. And there's no you buy a subscription to the whole catalog. They're very short courses in duration, anywhere from like an hour to 6 hours or so. But what I really like about it is that you're able to really focus on a specific niche without having to worry about, can I sell this and make it a return on my investment, or at least break even for real class? So I published a class in June, introductory class to SharePoint 2013 workflow development. I don't believe I could have done that and sold that as a one-day class and been able to not only break even, but much less make any kind of an income or real revenue on it after covering my expenses, to make it realistic. But there's a need that's out there. And so
it was
really nice. And it's really nice to cross-link stuff. I mean, it's a workflow class, but I'm focusing on SharePoint. There's another guy there that's got a bunch of workflow stuff. And I'm like, go watch his stuff on workflow 4.5. Right. You can do all of that inside of SharePoint. I'm going to focus on the SharePoint piece.
Yeah, no, I think just the size of the courses and the breadth of the courses is really interesting about them. And like you say, they've kind of got that publishing platform all buttoned up and ready to go. So it's, I don't know, I just like not having to pick a technology and buy a course just in that technology. I like be able to get a subscription to any sort of technical developer, hardcore and intro, but also hardcore developer training. I think they've got a great thing going on.
In fact, you can take their courses and you can save them offline for a certain amount of time to your phone. I mean, I had to drive 10 hours this past weekend and plug my phone in, and I was listening to a new course they had on OAuth 2.0 a whole other one on inversion of control, just listening to it. Now, listening to inversion of control when you're driving in the dead of night in the middle of a forest is probably not the best thing. Nothing against the guy's class, but it's not exactly the thing that you're looking for to stay awake on a really boring drive.
not some thumping tunes to keep you awake.
He had a lot more animations in his slides. I really needed to watch to stay awake on it, but I was driving, so I was like, I was just listening. I was like, yeah, this one isn't working.
You're a sucker for punishment listening to technical training. Yeah. Goodness me. So back to SharePoint world. You've been involved with the SharePoint community for a bunch of time, and I guess, you know, what sort of things are you active in today in the SharePoint community, and where will people find you, show up in the SharePoint community?
Yeah, I mean, I don't spend as much time in the forums as I'm sure that some people would like. I like talking to people, so I do a lot of I do a good number of SharePoint conferences like SP TechCon and the SP 360, the VS Live stuff, another show called Dev Intersections, a relatively new show. And then also just other conferences like the SharePoint conference. I like the smaller focused couple hundred people conferences than the, 5,000, 10,000 people conferences, because it's hard to kind of network with people. But that's the big...
Yeah, a little more intimate, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I'm traveling, I like to find a SharePoint user group and interact with some people there, and as well as my local user group. I started a chapter of the SharePoint user group many years ago with another guy named John Holliday, which you might know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, John, it turned into being the John and Andrew show every month. Nobody would step up and do other talks except for one or two people. And after about 2 years, I was like, I'm tired of scheduling a week to where I can't go out and do billable work out of town just to present to six people.
Yeah.
So these other people started. I killed it. John and I killed it off. About a year or two later, they started it up again, and they're getting like 20 to 30 people, 40 people per meeting. We never got that. So
if you love it, you must set it free, right?
Exactly. They're doing a heck of a lot better job than I ever did. So,
we live on different sides of the country. So I'm in Washington State, in Seattle, and you're over there in Florida, in Jacksonville, right? And we get together a bunch on Skype and things like that. But probably the most often we see each other is at conferences and or community gatherings and things. And in particular, this event, after those shows or in the evenings called SharePoint. But I heard some rumor that you might have been the founder or one of the founders of SharePoint. So, people probably know about SharePoint if you've ever been to a SharePoint event. They're typically held, maybe the day before the event starts or one of the nights during the event. But how did all that come about? And fill everybody in a little bit on that thing.
I guess people, they always remember the beginning of SharePoint, right? They may not remember the end of their SharePoint.
That's right.
Yeah. So about, 2007 is when it started, November 2007. Back then, SharePoint wasn't as big of a deal in terms of like the whole conference scene. There wasn't a dedicated conference for it. There weren't specific tracks at like a tech ed or something. But what there was is that at the Connections conference, which is like a series of multiple tracks, ASP.NET, mobile, whatever, Azure, and now SharePoint. At the time, they had one set up, and I was speaking there. And then I also I noticed that at this event, there was never really anywhere for SharePoint people to kind of congregate. There was never like a birds of a feather for SharePoint people. Like you had other parties where it was like, I think you might still be doing it, but a party with Palermo for like .NET guys and all that stuff. And I was like, we need somewhere to kind of go to where we don't have our laptops out. We're not geeking out over it, but we're just kind of shooting the breeze and being a little more social and getting to know each other. So I said, well, let's do this thing called SharePoint by day, SharePint by night. And we picked this one little bar in Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas where the conference was being held. And put it on my blog. A bunch of people reposted it and stuff. And the evening turned into being a lot bigger deal, because about 2 hours before that, I sat down at a Let It Ride table with $50, and I got up about an hour and a half later with $4,500.
So it was your shout, was it, at the SharePoint?
Yeah. So I I actually had to go upstairs and put a bunch of money in the safe because my wallet wouldn't close with 45 100s in it.
Oh, that's the way to do it at while you're in Vegas.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, so I went to the bar and I just said, it's not my money, it's the house's money. So go ahead and open up a tab, and all of these people over here can have drinks on this tab, and I'll pay for it. Just let me know when it gets to a certain number. And I was shocked. They were like, this is how you know that it was early on in the SharePoint days. There might have been 30 or 40 people there, and the tab was $367.
Huh.
I told her, I said, let me know when it gets to 500. She never talked to me. I'm like, she forgot. I'm screwed. I just blew the bank.
Yeah, because SharePoint is known for their ability to consume alcohol. So I think you got off pretty lightly there.
I got off real light. But yeah, so the whole thing just kind of took on a mind of its own. And, you know, it's in one sense, it's a little – I've gotten a little disappointed in the fact that some companies try to use it for their commercial advantage. And the idea is that there's no commercial spin on it. If you want to – they don't make T-shirts or mugs or any of that stuff. The only thing that that really we said to people is just like, look – if you want to make it a company thing, then throw a company card down at the bar and say, we got the tab. But like, if you come, you have to listen to our sales pitch. That was the really annoying thing. And putting your banners up and all that junk. I mean, the whole idea is supposed to be about community. And most people have done that. But
I put on helped organize a SharePoint at the Worldwide Partner Conference this year. And you know, that was one of the things. We had AvPoint and Nintex sponsoring the bar, but that was, so it was great for, you know, lubricating conversation, and they were always happy to help out with the community like that. But we didn't have people sitting there sort of doing their, hey, look, it mops up any sort of liquid you spill on the carpet, or rice that your kids drop down the couch, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So so what does your day look like today? Like, what do you do? Day to day, I know you work out of a home office, for example, and you got a pretty sweet setup there now. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I like I said before, I'm independent contractor, so I just kind of float around, go wherever. I do work out of a home office. I do a little bit of consulting with clients. Right now my time is mostly around building and recording classes and producing them for Pluralsight and putting them in their catalog. I do a little bit of writing for MSDN, speak at a couple conferences here, but I guess I just do a lot of little things right now. I don't have any. I try to stay away from the long term project based work just because for my lifestyle and for the speaking at conferences and teaching, it's really hard to do that. Plus do like a 6 month contract. So I do a lot more like kind of mentoring or kind of guidance on projects and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So you dip in and dip out of stuff and do a lot of those things.
Yeah. I guess you could say I kind of professionally screw around, just mess around with different projects and stuff like that. So screw around doesn't really sound that right. I shouldn't say it like that.
I think we know what you mean.
Yeah. So enough about me.
If you have a question for us, go to mscloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 file and provide a link so we can play the question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at mscloudshow.com. We also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.